Welcome one and all to our midweek church service. Welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you in fellowship with us. Our dear brother James sends his apologies. Sister Lucy is staying with him for a little bit, and she had a doctor's appointment that is taking place right about now. They tried to change the time, but it would have been 3 weeks before they could get another appointment. And Sister Lucy just got out of the hospital, so it was unavoidable that Brother James could not be here this evening. He sends his regards and love and hugs, and so also does Sister Lucy. And hopefully we'll be able to see her this coming Sabbath. So we're not going to have the meeting on Revelation. That's sort of Brother James's area. So I figured we'd open it up to a praise, a singing, a testimony time, and allow our hearts to be uplifted and joyful in the Lord, because that's where we find our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So that's what we have planned for tonight. And our opening song is Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join ye in glad adoration.
Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Sheweth thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires here have been granted in what He ordained?
Well, let's see. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy have daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he befriend thee.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister and brother, and God be praised indeed. Now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service? Please feel free.
Dear Father in heaven, we ask that you be especially with Brother James and Sister Lucy as they attend their appointment, be with the doctor, help them to give the right treatments and diagnosis tailor-made for Sister Lucy so that she can be with us when we have our services. Keep them safe. Give them traveling privileges. And thank you, dear Lord, for watching over our dear brothers and sisters. And be with us in this meeting. Impress our minds with the songs that we should sing and the words that we should say so that each may be uplifted and desire to fellowship with us again. And thank you, dear Lord, for the ability to fellowship together and to see one another and to make the pattern here on earth as we feel it must be in heaven. Fellowship, gladness, joy, singing, and laughter. And thank you, dear Lord, for blessing us with all of these abilities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Does anyone have a testimony? Anyone have a praise to the Lord? A song that you would like to sing? Please go right ahead.
I would like to praise the Lord. We did get 5 inches of snow. I didn't have to go out in the snow. It has started to melt. The roads are dry. And when I started fixing lunch, I decided I needed to go to the store. I was running out of various things, so I did go. Didn't have any problems. There were a few places on the road where there was water, but it wasn't ice. There was no problem. I don't know how many of you know, but my balance is really bad, and so I have to really be careful. Hopefully not walk on ice. And the snow is much better. I feel more comfortable walking on unbroken snow because I know it's not icy. But I did have, my son came over the day after the snow and made a path for me to go to the mailbox. My daughter came over last night and took my garbage can out, and I was able to bring it back. There was enough thawing that I could bring it back. I just praise the Lord for all the help that I've had, and we needed the moisture. We need the snow, and now they're saying that we may even get rain. So I just praise the Lord over and over.
Amen. Amen. God is merciful to, you know, even with storms that come in, he's able to temper them down. He's able to change the weather pattern or the fallout pattern. He's a wonderful, merciful, compassionate Father. And praise the Lord that the snow wasn't worse and that it didn't stick around too long. That's the best kind of snow.
I bet it was beautiful, Sister Jean. I bet the snow was really pretty. We've been getting a lot of rain in California. Praise the Lord. Not really bad rain, but soaking rain. And it's so good for the trees and the grass and the flowers that we expect in the spring. Praise the Lord.
Yes, it was beautiful. We had about an inch a week ago, and I thought it was pretty, but 5 inches was so much better. It just covers everything. The only problem is it's so bright. I have to be careful, even with dark glasses, because I can get a headache very easily.
I understand. Brother Joel, your question on the Sabbath, we're going to be having question and answer for our main church service. So be sure to ask that question then. Tonight we're having a praise, a testimony, a singing meeting. So be sure to ask the question on this coming Sabbath for church. That's a wonderful question.
Thank you. You know, I was supposed to travel to Migori for a camp meeting, but I failed to travel. However, I praise God that he helped us to stay on, because we had, after many years, a rainy season ending the year. God, has been very rare to have rains during the festive season. But this time we had even very heavy rains. We even expected the worst floods in our regions, but I praise God that it didn't happen. We could have long rains rain for long hours, but it was fair, good to the plants and also to us. And now I've been very busy in Kampala trying to help our dear brother Eda Male. You know, about 1.5 months away or 2 months away, his wound worsened because the doctors had tempered with it, with a hope of extracting money from him, because they wanted the Uganda money, about 5 million, which is like about 1,600 US dollar, to cut off the toes that he had a wound. And because they said he was not now feeling any sense in the legs. But when he gave us that report, we refused it utterly. And he said, no, we should use the herbs to help you heal the wound. But because they had scratched the small wound that was on, so it widened and it became worse. But I praise the Lord that it is now healing. So it has gone slowly, but it's now healing, drying up. We are now seeing some ready meat coming up. So I praise God for that, that your prayers, your advice, more so from Sister Rose, who was sending a direct approach to the wound, more so the diabetic wound, and also trying to help us, tell us the types of herbs we could use for the approach, has utterly helped us to close the problem which has come bad. And I was deeply concerned, because when we go to Kampala, that is our nucleus point. When we separated, our first church was established there. When Gary and James Snaps visited Uganda, that was where we first had our meeting with them, the first discussion with them. So many of us in the separation movement for many years, that has been our starting point. It's good that Brother Male was born in Kampala, and so his home is established within, almost in the middle of the city, between Kampala, from the administrative offices of Kampala, it's only 4 kilometers, which is home, and Entebbe. Entebbe from Kampala is about 30 kilometers. But so, when we travel from upper country to the city, Malaysia place has been a meeting place. So I was deeply concerned when the wound had worsened, and yet we have great work to accomplish before Christ comes. So I'm glad to let you know that your prayers, your advice has been of great help, that the wound is now closing. I believe soon from now, at least within 1 month's time, it could be healed completely, because he can now use the leg to move within the house and also come out in sunshine in the morning to sunny days. You know, sometimes also sunny days when it's rainy, when it's cold. So at least he can move around the home courtyard, outside, within the house, he can move. So praise God that he has exemplified as the best doctor than the certificate doctors. Thank you.
Amen. We'll continue to uphold Brother Malley in our prayers. And praise the Lord that it's closed. And Lord willing, he'll get back the full function of his leg and foot. That's wonderful. Yeah, sound the battle cry. Yeah, that's actually our closing song. So we'll save it till then. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking we're in a battle every day to stand for the right. And as you were introducing and talking about Brother James and Sister Lucy, that song just came into my mind. It seems so appropriate, that we need to recognize we're in a big battle and, stay close to God. He's our commander in chief. He's the one that knows all the moves.
Yes, indeed. He knows everything and he plans accordingly. We just have to make sure that we're following in his plans and not our own plans. And then everything will go smoothly.
I was going to say great minds running the same channel. Well, wait a minute. My arm's getting broke patting myself on the back.
Well, I have a praise the Lord. Early last week, we had a ice storm come through with a whole lot of rain. We got close to 10 inches of rain in 5 days. And in between the storms, we had an ice storm. And we only got about a tenth of an inch of ice coating everything. So it wasn't too bad. But some of the other cities and towns had that on the road. And so it was quite a mess. But we survived that. And then we had another storm come in with winds gusting up to 60 miles an hour. We had branches down all over the place. There was like 5 trees that fell across power lines. We were without power for 2 days. I think it was from Sunday to Tuesday. And there's still a road that's closed about 10 miles away from us. There was so many trees that were down that they haven't been able to get to them all. But I want to praise the Lord that through all of that stormy season, and it's still not over, but through all that stormy times, he allowed us to have heat. We have a wood stove, so there wasn't any heating problem. He allowed us to have water because we have gravity flow. We're not dependent on a well. And everything moved along in somewhat of a normal fashion, except when it got dark. You have to walk around with a flashlight. But God is good, and his mercy endureth forever.
Do you have a generator, solar panel, something to give you a little bit of backup? No, that's good.
Dear Sister Joan was impressed to purchase for us a small generator. So we were able to conduct the Wednesday night meeting using the generator. So praise the Lord for that. We were able to continue on the internet, but it's not one in which you can operate, more than one appliance at a time, but it still got us through the tougher times. Praise the Lord.
How many kilowatts is your generator?
1800.
1800, okay. Years ago, I had a 600-watt. I had a 600-watt that ran my little auto bakery while I was tree planting. And later, I got a 2,000-watt, and that worked real well. Go ahead, Joel.
I was just wondering, Tria of life with Bob without power for 2 days. Maybe I was just imagining that I was a little bit feeling prison life in Africa. And you know, it's very funny when somebody hears of somebody in America, Oregon, and they are saying he has no power, then we believe life is extremely very hard for him. But praise the Lord that all humanity have almost same experiences, and that Sister Joan was impressed to get a generator to help in the areas of trial. I mean, the physical trials. Yeah, we praise God that life still moves on. But that one, I'm only seeing that quite gave the Bob a big experience. When all things seem to be good, then all of a sudden, a blackout. It brings many lessons for us to learn. And more so for us, we are in Africa. We only get to learn many lessons. Others just only get used to those hard conditions and they don't change. Things become as normal. However, for us, when we come to such areas, we are supposed to get lessons and learn for the better. That's what I was imagining.
Amen. Amen. And when you've given your heart to the Lord and allow Him to lead and guide, whatever comes in each day is something that God has allowed. So with that outlook, you can accept it so much more easier than you could if you believe that it was all just random events without any kind of connection or oversight. And so, you know, I was reading in Desire of Ages where Christ didn't even plan out his own day. He allowed the Father to plan it for him. So when you see Christ going from one place to another, it was because his Father led him to do that. It wasn't because Christ had planned to do that. And that's how fully submitted Christ was to the Father each day. And, you know, there's nothing wrong in planning out what you're going to do tomorrow or where you're going to be or perhaps what you're going to do at home. But you have to allow God to have the freedom, the leeway to change your plans or to alter them. Because he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows exactly what needs to be done when it needs to be done. We don't. So we need to live in a way that allows God to have control of our lives and our plans instead of thinking that we know best every day.
Yes. I was drawing now another example from a sudden lack in the wedding at Cana. When everybody had planned to have joy and happiness, but all of a sudden the wine gets finished and all were stuck. So their eyes were all turned onto Jesus. And you know, I believe it was, Jesus had not planned that he would go to a wedding to make that miracle so that people may learn of his mighty and the miraculous working of the gospel message. But what I believe was certain circumstances, situations come to happen in certain areas of interest for God's will. That as people probably would have not thought of God's working among every other joyful moments, he brought a scenario that could pull the attention of everybody to his working mission, and that was gospeling in a miraculous way of providing wine. And everybody now had to know that there is a special power that works. So whatever other situation that comes before us, be it hard as we may think, is a blessing in our own souls. So praise God that things happen to teach us, change us, enlighten us about God's ways of helping man to comprehend him to what we had so far lost, that we may attain salvation soon. Thank you. I don't know how to sing in English, but there's a song that sounds nice to me. God will take care of. I don't know whether Elder Bob, if you can tone it, and then those who know how to sing in English can take on. I also just enjoy following the tones. Probably I sing in my soul or in my heart, but I cannot pronounce it. The tone is in English. Praise the Lord.
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangerous fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen.
All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way,
He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen. And this is one Sister Joan requested. When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my light is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead beyond.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
When my work is all done and my race here won, let me see by the light thou hast shown that fair city so bright where the Lamb is the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storms of the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. He helped me get through that song.
Amen. God is wonderful. Are there any other requests or songs that you'd like to sing, or testimonies that you'd like to give, or praises that you would like to say? Please feel free.
I'm praising the Lord that all of our brothers and sisters have made it through the terrible storms that have come through. And I'm thankful for the storms that we're having here in California. We really needed the rain, and this week is full of it. And so far we haven't had any really, really bad avalanches of mud and debris coming down the road. The thing of it is, in California, it can rain in a week, and maybe not for a month. There won't be any landslides, but then the ground will give way somewhere. The dirt isn't able to sustain the weight. And so you'll have a landslide somewhere. We pray that doesn't happen, but there's a lot of roads along cliffs that you want to think twice before you travel on those after a rain particularly. But praise the Lord, we still have our brothers and sisters all over the U.S. and other countries, and they've survived the weather, especially the snowfall in the eastern states.
Amen. Apparently, the West Coast is in a La Nina period, and La Nina means it's going to be more wet and a little more cold, depending on where you are west. So the wet is good news for California. I guess it's good news for any states that need their reservoirs filled back up. God will help us through. Amen. Question, it says, does Ellen White say what time in the morning we should eat breakfast? Not that I'm aware of. She does mention that two meals a day would be better than three, unless you're a really hard worker and you need a third meal. But there needs to be 5 to 6 hours in between. The children of Israel had breakfast around 10 in the morning and then lunch around 4. So they had like a 5 to 6 hour no eating. So if they ate at 10, they'd probably be done by 11, and then they ate at 4, so that's about 5 hours. So whatever is good for your body, depending on when you wake up and need to go to work, I find that my body functions better eating right around 9 to 10 and then having lunch around 3 to 4. And I don't need a third meal. But not everyone is of that body makeup.
I'm finding a problem with it these days with my wife, because we have been used to, by 6 we go to garden, up to around 10. Then it becomes very hard to cope up with the timing of 10 to have a lunch break first, then maybe by 4, because by 4, in our African setting, we are going back to evening works. And more so for us, we could depend on digging. We are going back to garden for evening works. That becomes a little bit hectic and disturbing to organize meals. However, the time interval of probably 6 hours or 4 has also become a problem. And I only practice it when I move out for mission work outreach. Because when I go to camp meetings, they strictly observe time. I've spent now about coming to 3 months at Mary's place. By 9, I'm eating because it's town area. And then by 4 p.m., I also have my supper, and that is all. So I believe it depends on the shadow of your working mechanism and that your body will cope up. Otherwise, if we now take this one to what Ellen White was advising, and that we copy, we shall find ourselves looking extreme among the community. People are going to work for you, are very busy eating. And then you lag behind, because for us we depend on the natural weather for farming. So I don't know what could be the real advice for our people in the different locations.
Yeah, understand, brother. And that's why there's no hard fixed rule regarding times you're to eat. There's principles that are brought out. One of the principles is that your first meal, your breakfast, is to be a large breakfast. But not everyone's stomach, not everyone's body system can handle a large meal first thing in the morning. So that's why the principles are to be applied in your dietary life and in the rest of the things that occur in your life. And one of the things Ellen White stressed is that we need to know our own body. We need to know what foods our body can handle and what foods our bodies cannot handle. We need to recognize these things. And we need to apply reason in maintaining or bringing back the best possible health for us as individuals.
You know, when you think about the manna that God supplied for that whole nation, that was a miracle that it agreed with everyone. And, Perhaps God changed it a little bit for each individual person so they could tolerate it. We don't know, but we do know that they survived on the manna from heaven.
That's very true. That's very true. And the Bible brings out that those that went out and gathered, gathered just enough for what they needed. So those that brought in a lot had just exactly what they needed. Those who brought in a little had exactly what they needed. So the little they gathered, God was able to stretch it, if you will, and it was exactly the amount that they needed. Those that gathered in much, God was able to lessen it so that they got just exactly what they needed. Now this is in preparation of the food, because there were some that saved a little bit aside and didn't prepare it, and it spoiled overnight. And God was angry with them because he says, hey, you know, don't keep it overnight. It's going to spoil. So it shows that God was even able to take care of the amount of food that they were eating to make it exactly what their body systems required. And that's amazing to me, because if someone only gathered a little, God blessed the little that they ate and made it capable of sustaining their body for that day. So when you ask God to bless your food, it doesn't matter how much food is there. God will bless it in such a way that it will take care of your daily needs.
I just had a thought. They had to gather it every morning. They couldn't gather it in the dark, so they didn't get up until it was light. Light enough to see to go and gather. Well, then it took them a while to gather it, and it took them a while to prepare it. So I can easily see that 10 o'clock would be a very good time for them, but I don't think I could hold out till 10 o'clock. I get up at 5, usually, summer or winter, and I'm usually sitting down to eat by about 6:30, 7 o'clock. But that's me. And then I'm free to have my worship and go to the senior center or for exercise or whatever I'm going to do for the day. And it seems like about 1 o'clock I'm thinking, oh, I need to be eating. When actually it would be better if I didn't eat till like 2 or 3. But I find that if I eat till 2 or 3, I mean, don't eat till then, I end up either overeating or somehow I don't get through with long enough before I go to bed. It just, 1 o'clock seems like a better time for me. But that's me and my schedule.
Yeah, understand. And everybody needs to pay attention to what their body is telling them. You know, Ellen White mentioned that there's nothing wrong with beans, but her body didn't digest the beans in the best way. So she left beans out of her diet, but she didn't make a hard, fast rule that no one can eat beans. So, you know, when we're trying to draft up dietary rules, it's going to be nearly impossible for everyone to abide by those rules. That's why she gave principles in the book. God gave her principles to put down in her writings so that everyone could follow the principles that enabled them to have the best of health. And yet there is no hard, fast rule. Yeah, I know individuals that tried to make a hard, fast rule, and they got down to the nitty gritty and they said, well, tomatoes are fruit, and thus you can't have tomatoes with salad, with lettuce salad, because that's mixing fruit and vegetables. And their ministry was devoted on teaching that. And how dare you have tomatoes with your lettuce salad, you know? And so then when I was talking with this individual, I says, well, Ellen White had lemon juice with her greens at night. And a lemon is a fruit. So Ellen White was mixing fruit and vegetables. And then their comeback was, well, a lemon isn't sweet. So then it's like a neutral fruit that can mix with vegetables without any problem. And I said, well, then a tomato isn't sweet. So then why can't a tomato be a neutral vegetable and also mix a neutral fruit and also mix with vegetables like a lettuce salad? So if we follow the principles, then we will be enabled to have the best possible diet for our body system and also the best possible timing for our body system. Yeah, amen. Amen. But there are fruits that are not sweet, and thus there's no chance for fermentation of vegetables to occur in the stomach. And that was the principle of not mixing fruits and vegetables together, because the sugary fruits would cause the vegetables to ferment in the stomach. So an avocado is not sweet. That's a neutral fruit. Squash is not sweet. That's a neutral fruit. So when you know the principles and the reason behind, then you can have a much more balanced outlook on what foods can mix and what foods cannot mix.
I had always thought of it as a fruit that you eat part of the plant with it, like peas in the pod, if you eat the whole pod. But I like your idea because peas are neutral, even without the pod. So, but there are definitely vegetables like broccoli that don't go with fruit.
Yes, and some of us has found that out the hard way.
Broccoli is good for you, but it sure does smell rotten when you're cooking it. But it is good for you, as is cabbage and some of those other cruciferous vegetables.
Try them raw. A raw cabbage, raw cauliflower, raw broccoli, and they're pretty good.
They are, all except cauliflower. You can have my raw cauliflower, dear brother. I'll take the broccoli and...
Everybody has different tastes.
Yes, and praise God for making a variety. I'd be very miserable and probably be thinner than I am if every vegetable out there was a Brussels sprout. If that was the only vegetable in the vegetable kingdom, that would be hard for me.
They're very good roasted.
And you know, God recognized that there were going to be differences among individuals, different likes compared to others. And he made enough variety to satisfy every human being.
Yeah, look at the tree of life. How many fruit does that have on it?
Twelve.
I imagine.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. I imagined one time when I was in Western Uganda, there's a race, a tribe, called the Abatwa. It's like the Pygmies. For them, they had the coop. And, a little bit I can say, God bless our nation with a lot of fruits in the bushes there. So for them, they keep on, even if God, there was a time when an NGO from America for humanity, for life, tried to come and build some houses and gave them freedom to come and reside. But again, they avoided because for them, they are used to gathering lifestyle, hunting and gathering. So I draw a certain lesson from the tree of life that this man, majorly if they don't get animals to kill to eat, they depend majorly on fruits in the bush there. And I've discovered one thing, that anything similar to fruit is full of life. And that doesn't have probably fruits, automatically becomes a herb. And this is the experience I'm seeing. And I was imagining of my younger lifestyle when we are still very young and teenage age, that we used to eat jackfruit, mangoes, and orange, plus some small other world fruits. And sometimes we could take the whole day without eating cooked food. So God is too good that he gives providence in his garden, that in different locations he has availed everything necessary to sustain life. And therefore, I believe we may not condition sometimes by the interval at which we eat. And since we are not known, the reforming, methods and knowledge, for us we could eat throughout the day, that whenever you could come across a fruit, you find it different from what you have eaten the other way, you also eat here. So continuously, I believe we shall be in heaven, I believe we shall be eating. As long as you feel you love to eat, you like to eat, there is some weakness, we shall continue eating to sustain life throughout. And I was trying to teach people that life, we are made of what we eat. What we eat generates your life, builds your body. And I believe that's what we shall have in life entering in eternity. So this issue of timing and so on, hope will come to an end. Just thinking so, but we shall have plenty to eat so that our life is continuously on.
Amen. And there's a spiritual lesson in that too. We need to daily partake of the bread from heaven, the word of God, in order for our spiritual life to thrive. If you are not daily spending time in God's word, it's like you're not eating for that day and your spiritual life is starving. So, you know, you need to daily partake of God's word in order to have a healthy spiritual life. So, amen, Brother Joel. Testimonies or thoughts, songs, praises that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, please go right ahead.
I have a question, and it's going to test your ability to choose. If you had two choices, one was durian and one was Brussels sprouts, which one would you choose?
I'd gag down the Brussels sprouts. I would leave alone the durian. Wouldn't touch it.
Hold your nose and eat the durian.
Oh, I've had durian before, and that was the one bad experience in the Philippines.
They say that durian tastes sweet. Did it taste sweet to you?
Not at all. And then they said, oh, well, you have to eat it two or three times before it finally starts tasting sweet to you. And I said, no, thank you. Once is enough. And of course, they're all laughing. So Brussels sprouts would win that, that choice.
The first time I heard about durian was at the Baron Turner meetings, and they were talking about durian and said it smelled like dirty socks. And I've never seen one, and I've never smelled one, but I sure have heard a lot about them. And it's quite an interesting fruit. Is it a fruit?
Yeah, it has a white the fruit, the flesh of the fruit is white. It has black seeds in it or dark brown seeds. And you eat the white flesh. You leave the seeds and the skin alone. But there's some Asian markets near you that probably would have some durian. So you might be able to try it.
Sounds like Sister Ida's had some experience with it. One thing, when you're ready to eat a meal, no matter where you are, it's always good to ask God to bless your food. And I know a friend and I were in a restaurant, and there was no place on the table for us to clasp hands and say the blessing. So we rested our arms on our elbows and clasped hands over the food, and it caught the attention of one of the other diners. And when we went to pay for our meal, the waitress said, "Oh, it's already been paid for." And we were quite surprised, said, "Well, who paid for the meal?" And this young man came up to our table and said, "I saw that you had to raise your hands in order to say the blessing." And he said, "It just warmed my heart to see that you would ask God to bless your food no matter where you are, even if people could see you doing that." He said, "God bless you. It really touched my heart."
Amen. That was a witness indeed. Well, dear ones, are there any last thoughts or songs or testimonies, praises that you'd like to bring forth before we have our closing song? Please go right ahead.
I would just like to say it's been wonderful fellowshipping with everyone tonight, and bless your heart for coming in. Big hugs. And it's just a wonderful thing that we can pray with each other, sing with each other, and fellowship one with another. Thank the Lord for that.
Amen. It has been a wonderful time this evening, and thank you so much, dear ones, for being here and for your participation. Our closing song for tonight's service is Sound the Loud Cry. Sound the loud cry, Babylon's demise is nigh. Point her captives high to the Lord. Bring them all out with a mighty shout, standing firm upon God's holy word. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain. Ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captive of the mighty throng.
Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go. While God's cause we know must
prevail with the Spirit's might. This earth is filled with light. The end is now in sight. We cannot fail. Roused and remnant, refreshed by the latter rain. Ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng.
O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us not to fall by thy grace. When the battle's won, Babylon's fall is done. Millions saved to stand before thy face. Roused and remnant, refreshed by the latter rain, ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng.
Amen. We have a song dealing with giving the loud cry. Praise the Lord. Let us do so, dear ones. And it's now time for our closing prayer. And who would like to offer that?
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege once again of uniting, though few, at prayer meeting time. Bless each one that showed up, whether from a cold part of the country or a warm part. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be poured out on us in latter rain power, that we might sound the cry, get ready for judgment. Bless James and Lucy. Help her to recover well and come back to us. We do miss her. Miss James, too. A man of many words. Bless each one that came and those that couldn't come. Be with those who might be under the weather now. And that could go more than one way, because part of the country is wet and part of the country is cold. We've experienced both here in the last 2 weeks, with a mighty rain and a -5 Fahrenheit. Won't it be wonderful when we get to heaven? I'll bet the temperature up there won't be disagreeable to any of us. And we thank you in advance. Cover us with the robe of your righteousness, we pray, that we might be ready for judgment. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I remember the Spirit of Prophecy mentioning that it was a mild temperature on the earth after it was created, so before sin, and that the temperature between daylight and nighttime only varied a few degrees. So the picture I get, it was something like around 72, maybe 76 during the day, and then it only varied about 4 degrees at night. So like from 68 to 76, you know, somewhere within that range. And that is a very pleasant temperature range. So it'd be wonderful. Are there any last thoughts, dear ones, before Brother Dick sings us away? Please feel free.
Can only say, And that is what we can call a golden local rate timing beyond that space. We cannot have good rates and, I mean, timely temperatures for life. So I call it a Goldilocks zone for our life.
Must be warm over there in where, Uganda? Is that where you are, Joel?
Oh, yes. It's warm and it's early morning now. We are getting up to get out. But usually Uganda is warm throughout, even at night. That's the beautiful scenario of the day. And if you visit here, I think you would even avoid covering with a sheet. You just sleep naked. So great, we have a beautiful environment. And I praise God for that. But I've traveled in these surrounding countries, Rwanda, DRC, Kenya. I can't really, in as much as they say no place like home, but I can't like them to our temperatures like the ones we have in Uganda. At least I've gone to DRC. It's too cold, wet throughout. The atmosphere is full of moisture, mist, and rain often. Then I've gone to Kenya. Many parts are extremely hot. Most when you reach Mombasa, you do not even love to put on clothes. Then when I reach Tanzania, somebody is basking in the sunshine and he doesn't feel it. But see, a little bit off the equator, and the sun rays hit them in an angle of maybe, an angle of maybe 60 something degrees. But for us, we are direct the equator, and we believe there is warmth throughout, and we experience it throughout. Whether it's raining, immediately after raining, you feel warmth. You even sweat when you are working. So, God is good. So we thank Him for that, the better environment He has given us, habitable for life. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Joel, do you get 100 degree Fahrenheit over there or 37 centigrade?
Here, it's the average from 21 to 30 degrees centigrade. Average, depending on the altitude. When you are in the mountains, it comes to around 21 degrees centigrade. When you are on plain land, which we call savanna, it's between 26 to 30 degrees centigrade.
Wow.
And it's the humidity that makes the 30 degrees centigrade seem hotter.
Yes.
Dear ones, have a wonderful night's sleep. If you're on the other side of the world, like our dear brother, have a wonderful day. And go with God. Keep moving forward. Keep growing in grace and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.